Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
January is 15 days old, and we got a big one planned. We're excited about it. How about this guest list today? Mike Florio gets us ready for the NFL playoffs in 20 minutes, just before 2:25. Ryan Kerrigan is on the show today at 4:25. Everybody's talking about Kerrigan's future. What's going to happen? Well, we're going to have him on the show to ask him about his future. And Joe Theismann, one of the legends in this town when it comes to Washington football, on the show at 5:25 to preview some of the games this weekend, to talk about some of the great quarterbacks, Breeze, Brady, Rodgers, and some of the young guns like Jackson and Allen who are taking part in this weekend's playoff games. Danny, top of the afternoon to you. How are you?
Strong, my friend. Good. The Caps offense works. They're good to go on that end. Got a little sloppy a couple times. Let some goals up last evening. And Nick Down, I thought, could have got suspended for his hit. But looks like no further discipline is coming after a little slap on the wrist. But fitting, the Caps got underway. You mentioned our show is special today. Some really good guests. But it's also special. It's the farewell show for our buddy Tom Daly. His last ride with us here today on Grant and Danny. I'm seeing the tweets come in from producers, coworkers, and otherwise. And Tom and his family, much like Bill Belichick, they're on to Cincinnati.
They are on to Cincinnati. Next stop, Ohio, for Tom Daly and his crew. So, Tommy, first of all, as we welcome you aboard for what is the final show with us here on Grant and Danny. So you were with us in middays. You've made the leap with us now to afternoon drive, and you are on to Ohio. This is your final day. But it's been a heck of a run, man. We appreciate your efforts, and we've obviously known you at the station well back before you started working with us. I'm trying to think when we first were going to IHOP and doing shtick like years and years ago. When did you start working at the Fan officially?
Well, officially, by the way, hello, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Officially 11 years ago, doing weekends and nights with one Danny Hooha on
That's
Overtime.
Right.
I started interning with Overtime with Bill Roland, where Danny became a fixture there. So Danny and I were, we came in at the same time, and it looks like Danny's going to outlast me, which I don't think anyone had in the cards. And then right around the time when you came aboard, Grant, that was when you were doing like your Saturday 9 a.m. shows, where I had just learned how to like go to Fox Sports Radio, like, you know, where
right.
Pre-automation. They didn't trust me to do anything. And then, we would go to Denny's and IHOP and all that stuff, and we'd stay out till about 3 a.m. and, piss
simpler
our girlfriends
times.
Off at the time.
Yeah, simpler, better times. I remember we were in Fairfax, and I loved that because I was at school at the time at Mason. So, like, that was just a normal thing, right, being out and about in Fairfax and me and you. And at the time, there was a guy that worked with us named Beard that we loved doing shtick with. But those were the good old days for sure, and now we're married and everyone's going in their separate directions.
We're wearing masks all the time. You guys are working from your laundry rooms. Yeah, things have changed.
Just slightly. Things have changed just a little bit, but you've put a lot of heart and blood, sweat and tears into the shows, and we appreciate that. And you came into this thing. So Danny and I, like you, grew up listening to JFK. I've got more of a, I would say like the hardcore sports background is like the reporting thing. But you've always been helpful because you were like just a guy talk radio guy traditionally, right? Isn't that why you wanted to get into radio? You were driving like box trucks around and doing all kinds of real adult stuff and wanted to get into radio because you loved the old format, I would say. Is that fair? Or?
Yeah, and also, you know, coming from divorced parents, I spent a lot of time in the car. So, yeah, I listened to JFK pretty much constantly. You know, all the people that you guys mentioned, you know, as soon as, you know, earlier this week when you talked about the afternoon drive spot. Yeah, I had the same story. And then when it flipped to sports, it just happened to be that, you know, I've always wanted to work in radio and I've always wanted to work for JFK. So we'll try the sports thing out. And I would say, you know, it's gone pretty well. But yeah, you know, never thought I'd see the day, but here we are.
All right, so here's what I know about Cincinnati. And Danny, you can fill in any blanks if you
here
got
go.
Any
yes.
that I don't. My wife is a mark. She loves Cincinnati. It's so random.
Wow. But did not have that in the office pool.
I'm telling you, it's so wacky. So her favorite thing in the world is this hippopotamus named Fiona that is at the Cincinnati Zoo. And we named our dog after this hippopotamus. In fact, the reason why we got our dog was so that we could name it after this hippo. So she's like a big, big fan of this hippo. I've been there one time, I think, for All-Star festivities, and I actually really loved it. I feel like everything was a sports bar. And, like, wings were the only thing on the menu, so it was perfect for me. Cincinnati, how'd you choose Cincinnati? What's the deal? And are you now a Bengals fan, and do you have a Joe Burrow jersey?
I didn't choose Cincinnati at all. The job that my wife got that seemed too good to pass up happens to be in Cincinnati. So that's why we're going out there. She's taking a job with a publishing company. And the reason why they're in Cincinnati is because they use the airport there as, you know, a way to get the books all over the country. So that's why we're going out there. I'm still going to hate the Bengals. I'm still, you know, being a Steelers fan my whole life, I told my wife, I said, I will not under any circumstance buy my child, if one ever comes, a Bengals jersey. I might take them to a game. They might be wearing Steelers gear. You know, if the football team is in town, we'll wear football team gear. But I cannot be a Bengals fan. I do see myself being a Joey Votto fan, though, a Hunter Green fan, you know, rooting for the Reds. I see myself doing that. But the Bengals, I think, is, you know, a step too far, a line too far.
I really like Danny, Cincinnati, too, by the way, GP.
As a town?
Yes, which is really
weird. So you've
really
probably
weird.
Been there more than I have. You have experience
have.
There?
Yeah, so several things have connected me there. Xavier used to be in our conference, so that was a trip I took a couple times. Beautiful campus, just a nice little city. It's very unoffensive, nothing, you know, too a little downtown. Skyline is nice, some places you can walk. It's got a little bit of Pittsburgh to the vibe, a little bit of, I don't know, kind of the nicer parts of San Francisco kind of feels like architecturally. But it's fun. It's a decent-sized little city, but Tommy will live like a king. Coming from D.C., moving to the Cincinnati area, oh, that dollar's going to go so much further. Marathon style, how much further it's going to go. That's
well,
number one.
We're already ahead, seeing that without giving too much away. doing the process, we're going, what, we can buy this for this? Right. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. And when my wife went out there just to interview for this job, she said that all the Uber drivers were complaining, well, I had to quit my job because I couldn't deal with the 15-minute commute anymore.
The 15-minute commute.
So I think everything's going to work out from a personal standpoint. I might have to work at a Kroger. I might have to work at a Menards or, you know, one of the other regional area big box stores for a little
That's
while.
Good shtick.
But, you know, I think to Danny's point, we will be able to stretch that dollar out a little further.
And so, GB, that's my first experience there is Xavier related. But I've got a family that's in and around the greater Cincinnati area. And they have thrived, despite some limitations, is what I'll say. So I told Tommy when he told me the news, he'll live like a king there. He'll rule that town before the fortnight is out, basically. So, I have seen, it's not the best humanity has to offer, is what I will say. And they are crushing it in Cincinnati. So Tommy will do just fine and dandy out there.
Well, we will in the final stretch run of the show in 6 o'clock hour. Now that we are even bigger and badder and better than ever, I guess, going until 6:30. We will say goodbye to the sound machine, which has been a staple on our winning off the field segments and on our double plays over the years with some of your favorite clips, Dom, that you'll rank for us. And we'll play in our final half hour today. So make sure you're listening at 6 o'clock for our Thommy send-off. But honestly, we just appreciate all the hard work and everything you've meant to the show for a long time. And best of luck to you guys in Cincy as the fam moves along. How about the hockey fam in D.C.? We got our boys back last night. The Capitals got a win in their first game under Peter Laviolette. They also got the benefit of getting to play the Sabres back-to-back to start the season.
That's nice, right?
Don't think are going to be very good. They play the Sabres again tonight. You got to just put these points in the standings or put the hay in the barn, whichever you prefer. And they got their 2 points last night, and it was a who's who kind of evening for the Capitals, by the way, in the sense that John Carlson is scoring on, you know, on the rush, joining and activating from the defensive end, which Laviolette loves. You had your first goal of the season from Nicholas Backstrom. And the best player on the ice for the Caps offensively last night was TJ Oshie, who for the 33rd time in his career had a three-point night, including this goal.
Oshie lurking in front of the goal. There's a double screen there. A shot. Loose in front. Score! That caroms through, and Washington grabs the lead right back.
Joe B. and Locker on NBC Sports Washington. The call from their Bethesda studios, you wouldn't have known it. They crushed it last night. But so far, so good for Laviolette. And the thing I'll bring up before we get to football about that win, Danny, after the game, I don't know if anybody saw this, but there's a video circulating where their brand-new head coach, Laviolette, said, look, I was out of hockey for a year, and I got to watch every TV show there is. And the one I liked the most, by far, the best one, was Cobra Kai. And so his new bit is, after every game, he's going to take I guess it's a bandana or headband. What do you call that?
I'm going to say headband, but that headband may be the wrong term. Yeah, I feel like that's what it is, but I don't feel confident saying that.
So he's going to give it to the top player on offense. And so TJ Oshie got the award last night, and now it'll be Oshie's opportunity for game two tonight to bestow that headband on somebody else. He then ties it on them, and then they have another one for the defensive end of the ice for the best player on D. So they'll do that after every win this season.
I dig it. I like those sorts of things, and it's something that's fun. The guys rally around it. So the Cobra Kai is all about offense, right? That's about strike hard, strike fast, no mercy. Miyagi-Do Karate is all about defense and avoiding fights, and that's what the defense was. So you got Mr. Dillon winning that award last evening.
All he did was get into a fight, by the way.
That's right, fisticuffs.
And also,
he scored a goal too, by the way.
Slapped a puck on net, which hadn't happened since like 1913. That was something interesting. But he played a very physical, strong game on the back end, so that was good to see. But so far, so good for Laviolette. Got off to the quick start. Again, this is a loaded division, so when you play teams you're better than, and this is one of those chances to do so against Buffalo, you got to win these games and get these points. Hopefully they can get another two tonight. Mike Florio is going to join the show in about 10 minutes. We'll go around the NFL with him. The early news out of the National Football League right now, though, is that it looks like some of these vacancies are starting to be filled in the coaching carousel. We knew on yesterday's show that Urban Meyer to Jacksonville was a thing, and that is a done deal. The Jets have decided that they are going to replace Adam Gase with Robert Saleh. And Saleh, who's a hot commodity coming from San Francisco, is the defensive mind that everyone was recruiting and courting and seeking. It's easier to hire and to go the offensive route for a lot of reasons, but the Jets have decided they can't pass up on Saleh. He blew them away in the meeting, so he's going to get that job. And then the Falcons have made an offer. Now, this is interesting how this is being reported. Are you noticing this? With all these other guys, the reports are close to a deal, finalizing a contract, closing in on. The report for the Falcons is that they've offered Arthur Smith the job. That terming is very, very weird to me because he has a lot of other opportunities. He's interviewing with the Chargers, the Eagles, the Lions, the Texans. Should I take that to mean he may not accept the offer? Other jobs better? Well, what does that mean that the Falcons have offered him the job rather than it meaning, you know, they're close to landing Arthur Smith? Or am I looking too deep into that, do you think?
That's exactly how I read it, that everybody else has – they've all agreed in principle. So – We've agreed you're going to become the head coach. Let's iron out the details. I want 4 years. Well, we want 3 years with an option year. We want this money, that money, whatever. Right? That's a normal part of the process. We've offered it to him, and he said, thank you. That's how I took that. And maybe I'm reading too much into it, but that was my first reaction. Is everybody else, as you said, is finalizing a deal. Terms are being worked out. It's all but done, et cetera, because you've got mutual affection. I think Arthur Smith is saying, I'm going to keep looking. I may say yes. But I'm not saying it right now. I also am not saying no. The door is open. He may end up being the head coach, and kind of that's all she wrote. But I was interested in that wording as well.
If you get off the bus and you walk back to your house, what's your dad's name?
Daniel.
You're not a junior, though? A different middle name?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a wacky bit that I want to come back to another day, by the way. But, okay, so your dad's name is Daniel. So you say to your dad, hey, I asked so-and-so to be my prom date. His immediate follow-up is going to be, Well, what did she say?
What'd she say?
When,
yeah.
When I hear the Falcons have offered the job to Arthur Smith, he either accepted the offer or he's still considering it. So by telling me that they've offered him the job, it means to this point that he has not said yes to that offer. If I'm a Falcons fan, that would be tough to take, I would say, when you know these other coaches are just jumping at these opportunities. But Arthur Smith, who's the offensive coordinator of the Titans, other than maybe, I mean, if you want another name that might be as sexy during this process, I would have said Saleh from the 49ers, but he's already got his gig. I guess his point is, thank you for that offer. Now you have a seat and wait in the waiting room. I'll be back to you after I talk to everybody else.
Yeah.
Right? That's what's happening.
Hey, Dad, I asked Megan to marry me. Anyway, what's for lunch? You know, like there's a big part that's hanging out there. You know, I'd love for some resolution there. But it's interesting. I mean, I'm seeing on Pro Football Talk that Bruce Campbell is pretty likely to get the Detroit job. So again, it's not as if there's an infinite amount of
Dan
jobs.
Dan Campbell, the former fullback.
Who did I say?
Bruce Campbell, which might be Bruce Campbell. I just don't know who that is.
No, it's Dan Campbell. I don't know who Dan Bruce Campbell is. Why is it Bruce Campbell?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of now because a lot of times you pull names that do exist. Bruce Campbell's an American actor. I'm looking at him.
Yeah, so
right,
he's from Evil Dead, yeah.
Evil Dead and Army of Darkness. So maybe he's going to make the transition to coaching. Maybe they
you
really like
think
his
that'd
acting
be a great
jobs.
Fit. I mean, I'm literally looking at the report right now. It says, report Dan Campbell, the favorite to become Lions head coach, right? And I out loud to you, Tommy, to Brock, and to all of our listeners,
hopefully
said
a few
Bruce
other
Campbell. I promise you I'm a pretty decent reader. It says Dan Campbell, and I said Bruce Campbell while reading the words Dan Campbell.
But can I go back to the report? You're telling me that Dan Campbell right now is the front runner for the Lions job?
That's from Pro Football Talk. That's what it says.
Okay, and we'll ask to Mike Florio about that coming up because he's joining us at 2:25 here in just a few minutes. To me, that's surprising. I mean, that job, and I know that Saleh was their supposedly their number one choice. Arthur Smith was their second choice. Eric Bieniemy is still available. I mean, unless he doesn't want to go to Detroit, and maybe that's what they're finding out, is it's hard to get one of the coaches that people actually want, like Joe Brady or Brian Daboll or Bieniemy. But Dan Campbell was interviewed by them. You know, his name was linked to them and nobody else. Uh-huh. Now, maybe the Lions are smarter than everybody else. I'm going to assume that they're not, though. This is one of those where if New England's interviewing someone that no one else interviews for a job, you assume that the Patriots have an inside track and know something that everyone else doesn't. When it's teams like Detroit or Cincinnati or Washington, they don't get the benefit of that doubt. But why aren't the Texans, Eagles, Chargers, Falcons, Jets, Jaguars interested in that same candidate? That would worry me.
And here's why. So if you're Detroit, you're in that terrible bucket, right? And just that you mentioned. Washington is in that bucket very much. They're trying to climb out to their credit, but they're in that bucket. You got two choices. One, the unknown, the guy that nobody else wants, a.k.a. the Jim Zorn route, right? The tight ends coach in New Orleans route. That guy, okay? You either have to do that, or if you have a correct structure, because the Giants have a general manager, and they have one of those things, and that's like the smart way to do it. But you have to go the route that there's no other job available to this guy. Or you go the exact opposite. You overpower, in other words, you give everything, total autonomy to Mike Shanahan, to Ron Rivera, to Marty Schottenheimer, etc. There's no in between. There's no regular coaching process if you're in that garbage pile.
Dan Campbell, I still remember as a player, and a lot of our listeners will. He was like a fullback tight end from 09 to, I think it started in 99, retired in 09. Giants, Cowboys, Lions, and Saints. And he's been a tight ends coach. A couple of different spots and was an interim head coach with the Dolphins in 2015, but he's most recently worked under Sean Payton in New Orleans since 2016. So that could be another opening that could be off the board. And if that's the case, you'd be down to the Chargers, the Eagles, the Texans for names like Daboll, Joe Brady, Eric Bieniemy, who somehow might get shut out again. Some of the retreads that are in on the Texans job are Jim Caldwell, Marvin Lewis, Leslie Frazier. But some of the hot commodities are starting to dry up now for these teams that are still looking. Grant and Danny on the Fan, Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk joins us as we kick off a Football Friday, taking a peek at this weekend's four NFL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Playoff matchup. A football Friday on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Everybody in town talking about what will become of Ryan Kerrigan. Pending free agent. He's on the show today at 4:25. In 2 hours, we'll ask him. But there is no better way to kick off a Football Friday than to look ahead to the weekend's matchups with Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. Mike, great to have you on the show on GND. Appreciate the time. How are you this afternoon?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing good, well. Let's get into it. You get one game. You got to do honeydews or check a bunch of things off the to-do list the rest of the weekend, but you get to watch one. Which are you choosing?
Well, my NBC affiliation would say Ravens-Bills, but I still would go with the battle of the two old men, Drew Brees and Tom Brady, the last game of the weekend. That one, to me, just feels more significant than any of the other playoff games we've seen so far.
In that one, Mike, you know, New Orleans had their way with Tampa. Now, New Orleans is good, obviously, defensively especially, and that's what's carrying them at this point. But why do you think Tampa had so much trouble with New Orleans over the course of this year, and why will this one be different, if it will?
Well, I think week one was largely meaningless because Tom Brady was brand new. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were getting used to him. He was getting used to them. Week nine, I think, was just kind of one of those it-happens games. And we saw it on Sunday night with the Browns and the Steelers. You get a couple of touchdowns early, you know, for the team that loses the game. And I think that's the easy explanation for what happened in week nine. And look, there's now 17 games for Tom Brady as a Buccaneer. He knows them. They know him. And I think it's going to be a very different team on Sunday night. But as Bill Parcells would say about trying to beat a team three times, the team that lost the first two thinks it can win the third game. The team that won the first two times knows it can win the third game, and there is an advantage in being that team that's 2-0 when the third game is rolling around.
Mike Florio, NBC's Football Night in America and Sunday Night Football. The weekend begins with another Hall of Fame quarterback, right? You get the Brady-Brees matchup, but Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are on the field to take on the Rams tomorrow afternoon at 4:35 in the first of these four contests. Do you think the Rams' championship-level defense is good enough to overcome injured Jared Goff?
Well, I think that's the problem. Injured or healthy, and he insists that he's fine, Jared Goff, especially playing in low 30 degrees. Remember that game against the Bears a couple of years ago on a Sunday night? He looked like he wanted to go get a big giant thermos of hot chocolate and hide under a rock somewhere. He was so cold. I don't have a whole lot of faith in the Rams' offense. I think John Wolford intrigues Sean McVay, the head coach of the team, more than Goff does. And I think somebody in that organization has to be wondering why they gave $33.5 million to Goff. I don't think the offense is enough to score more points than whatever the Packers' offense will be limited to by Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. Even if Ramsey, for example, blankets Devontae Adams, I just think that Aaron Rodgers will find a way to make things happen and score points.
Mike Florio with us here on Grant and Danny. Mike, that Baltimore-Buffalo game, all sorts of intriguing running team against, you know, the Josh Allen sling fest, Brian Daboll, the brilliance. Both teams playing really well down the stretch. Handicap before us, what do you like?
Well, you know, the Bills are the popular choice. They've won seven games in a row. They had something happen that snapped for them in a good way during the Hail Mary loss to the Cardinals. They had a week off after that, the Bills did, and they'd been blowing everyone out. But they had a near miss against the Colts last Saturday in the first game of Super Wild Card Weekend. And I think because that was the first game and there were five after, it kind of got forgotten. I think that the way the Bills' defense played was very bad by its standards. And the offense was Josh Allen. And I don't know that that's going to be enough to beat a Ravens team that has been on fire now. They've won six in a row, including the postseason, where their backs are against the wall. And they just have that vibe. They have that kind of special feel. Every year or two, there's a team that's struggling around 500, Thanksgiving time frame, and then finds the gas pedal and off it goes, and they're very hard to beat. And I think the Bills, as magical as it is that they're back, and it would be great to see them play the Chiefs next weekend, assuming the Chiefs beat the Browns, but I think the Ravens are going to advance.
Mike, I don't know the better way to ask this is if you could buy stock in or you could take one of these guys to, you know, run your offense for the next 10 years. But Allen or Jackson, which of these two guys several years out do you think he is better positioned?
I think Josh Allen, because I continue to be concerned about the heavy load of running that Lamar Jackson engages in. Now, when he became the starter in 2018, a lot of people said, hey, this is going to be fun while it lasts. And I think they'd be stunned to learn that it lasted 2.5 years and counting. But with Josh Allen, who doesn't run nearly as much, it's more of a surgical running attack. It's deliberate. It's careful. It's safe. He's not as reckless as he was as a rookie and even a little bit into 2019. I think that the skill level is comparable. Allen may be just a little bit better. You throw in the fact that Allen doesn't throw his body around like Jackson, and it makes him the choice.
So if it's not Kansas City, Mike, and I assume they're still the favorite, you know, they look to be in Vegas and everywhere else. If it's not Kansas City, who wins this whole thing?
The Ravens or the Buccaneers, I would say. And if it's Ravens Bucks in the Super Bowl, hell, I don't know. That's, you know, that doesn't sound like a really sexy Super Bowl. I think we want the Chiefs or the Bills kind of collectively. We feel that's going to be the AFC Championship game. And whoever wins that game would be the favorite to win the Super Bowl. But I don't know. Oof. Man, I just there's something about the Ravens this year. It reminds me of 2012, and I think the Buccaneers are a lot better than they were when we locked in our narrative that they were struggling with Tom Brady. They came out of their bye week and they've been great. And, I think it's going to be the Ravens and the Bucks. And watch, it'll be the Chiefs again. You know, nobody's had a repeat championship since 2003-04 with the Patriots. And the Chiefs just haven't been dominant this year. Yes, they've won all but one game. But they just don't win the way you would expect a great, great, great team to win.
At Pro Football Talk on Twitter, not sure there's a better one-stop shop for football content and opinions and information. Mike Florio's with us on Grant and Danny to kick off Football Friday. So two things on the Browns. The first would be, is there any way in your opinion Kevin Stefanski doesn't win Coach of the Year? And then second would be on Baker Mayfield. A month ago, maybe even that recently, we're wondering if he's arrived. Like, has he gotten over the hump? Is he the franchise quarterback? There were still questions. Is that over? I mean, has he left that in the rearview mirror? Or is there still something to be proved this weekend? How do you feel about him?
Well, you know, your narrative for the offseason is going to be set by how you perform in your final game, whether it's now, next week, or the Super Bowl. And it all turned for the Browns. The perception changed when they beat the Titans. And I think that the big difference for Mayfield, he performs well when he's not under a ton of pressure. When you can get guys after him, like any quarterback, it's going to change the performance. He reminded me a lot of Kirk Cousins in that regard. When, as long as it's clean and he can roll out of the pocket, he doesn't have a guy chasing him, and you know, he can do things in a more methodical way, he's going to be effective. If he's rushed, if he's hurried, if he's hit, you know, he's not gifted with the kind of mobility like a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to succumb to that. So I think that, he has to keep doing what he's doing, and he needs great protection to have this idea that, he's reached a higher level of overall performance. And I think Stefanski is the coach of the year, to answer your first question. And it should be an easy win for him. The problem with coach of the year, you never really know what the standard is. You know, it's loosely how far a team exceeds its generally accepted expectations going into the season. And under that standard, it's Stefanski. Ron Rivera should get consideration. Matt LaFleur of the Packers. How does a guy who's 26-6 in 2 years as a coach not get some serious arguments in his favor? And Sean McDermott of the Bills. But I think it's going to be Stefanski turning that team around after all that dysfunction, taking them to the playoffs for the first time in 18 years. I think it's him.
Mike, going to go coaching carousel here. Who's going to get the Texans job, and how does Jack Easterby complicate the situation?
Well, there are several of these jobs that are complicated by the presence of an executive beneath the ownership level who serves as a buffer and or someone who's just in position to cause trouble. Not that it would be a deliberate effort, sometimes it is, but you know, these executives, and these are great jobs. This is the Bruce Allen type job where you're not accountable when the team loses. You can find a way to kind of cram an arm into the spotlight when things go well, but you're paid at a high level and you can hold the job for a very long time because you're never part of the problem and you know how to go run and hide. And I think that's what Easterby's trying to create for himself in Houston. But as the executive VP of football operations, a guy who is demonstrably unfit for that job, the Texans are getting what they deserve. You give someone a job with that level of power and influence who does not have the credentials or the ability to hold that job, and you're going to get dysfunction. And they've poisoned the relationship with quarterback Deshaun Watson. I know the owner, Cal McNair, is trying to fix it. They decided to make him part of the GM and coach search process. They hired Nick Cassero to be the GM without running it past Watson, even though they told him they would. And then he recommended Eric Bieniemy to be the head coach, and they weren't going to interview him. Well, once the relationship went off the rails, now they're going to interview him, but they have to wait until the Chiefs are done because they didn't interview him during the bye week. So it's a mess. It's dysfunctional. They were about to either completely neutralize Easterby or fire him before he convinced the owner to hire Nick Caserio, who wasn't even one of the five finalists for the job. So, you know, Easterby knows how to work his magic on Cal McNair, and as long as he's the guy signing the check, that's all that matters.
Mike, Urban Meyer, Jacksonville, Robert Saleh of the Jets. It looks like Arthur Smith of the Falcons, although he's still got some other interviews, and who knows what's going to happen there. But with four openings left, Chargers, Eagles, Lions, Texans, how real is the possibility that Eric Bieniemy gets shut out again? And if that does happen, what's the reaction going to be? Because there seems to be a disconnect all year long watching games with what the media says about him as a candidate and then what teams do when these openings actually take place and the interviewing starts.
Yeah, I said in the pregame show last weekend for one of the two wild card games we had on NBC that there's a sense Bieniemy's going to be shut out, and he's already telling people that he's staying put and he's waiting for the perfect job to come his way. That's before the Texans got interested. Now, would they hire Bieniemy to placate Deshaun Watson? Would Bieniemy even want that job? If I'm Bieniemy, I want to know why I wasn't part of the process initially, and I just don't think it's the right reason to hire Eric Bieniemy, that we're just trying to save the relationship with the quarterback. But, you know, I don't know what the issue is. People have questioned whether or not his interviews are strong enough, and, you know, is he a little too rough around the edges? I mean, that was the narrative of Bruce Arians and Mike Zimmer, and it took them a long time to get head coaching jobs. But you're not hiring someone to sit in a suit and hang out with you in a room and talk for 90 minutes at a time. You're hiring someone to coach a football team. And all the stuff that I've heard about Bieniemy and the stuff you see watching the game, he looks like a coach. He acts like the coach. He connects with his players. You need to be that guy who can stand up in a room of 53 grown men, command their attention and respect. Whether you're loud, whether you're quiet like a Tony Dungy would be, when you speak, they listen and they react. And I've heard nothing to suggest Bieniemy won't have those skills. But for whatever reason, teams are taking their time, and maybe they're putting too much stock in this interview process and not enough in can the guy coach.
Mike, excellent with us. Enjoy the games this weekend, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Be well. There's Mike Florio. Pro Football Talk is where you can check out his work. Next, let's assume Arthur Smith to the Falcons is in line to happen, and there are three jobs no longer open and four openings right now. Who's done best of the Jaguars, the Falcons, and the Jets? And what would be the reaction around the league? What would we think if Eric Bieniemy doesn't get one of these jobs? What else can the guy do to prove himself as an assistant? We'll get to that next on Grant and Danny at the top of the hour at 3. We talked to Jason Wright yesterday. A couple things he said about the name change that we want to bounce off of you, our listeners, today. Remember, Ryan Kerrigan's on the show at 4:25.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
With Danny, I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. So it looks like two of the seven openings in the NFL filled. Urban Meyer to Jacksonville. Robert Saleh to the Jets. In the middle, a gray area with the Falcons and Arthur Smith, because they've offered him the job. It's beyond him being the favorite. We're not yet sure if he's going to accept the job. But let's say for a moment that he does. Of those three hirings, which one do you like the best, Danny?
I love Saleh. I just don't know that it fits right now. The defensive guy going to the Jets, I don't know what success he or anybody could have. I mean, to me, if you're going to make it higher, if it's not the super genius offensive mind that's going to innovate and sort of change the way the game goes. But I just love that guy's personality. I feel like dudes run through a wall for him. And he has always struck me as someone that's both knowledgeable, passionate, likable. You don't have to be a Belichickian robot. You can be somebody like he is, which is just, you know, he's as much fun to watch as some of the plays. Like when Name That Bosa gets a sack, you cut to the sideline because he's running, you know, doing the three cone drill like he's at the combine, pumping his fist and doing tiger uppercuts like he's in Street Fighter. He's a blast, and I root for guys like that. Just he's having fun being around this man's game. So I like Saleh a lot. I just don't know how well it's going to go.
I agree with you. I'm not sure that anyone is set up to go in and hit a home run with the Jets initially. I would probably miss out on a lot of great young defensive coordinators like Robert Saleh, because I think I would almost always hire, at least in today's NFL, a young offensive mind. I would if I'm hiring in this process, want to talk to Joe Brady probably first. Guys like Brian Daboll and Eric Bieniemy and Arthur Smith. Now, those are my lead candidates. Here's the problem with hiring a defensive coordinator, and I do think Saleh is going to have a success. I think he is beloved by his players. I think he's the kind of guy, to your point, Ron Rivera style, but a lot younger, that players just want to be around and they want to hang out with, and then they want to go play hard for. I put Brandon Staley, by the way, in the same conversation. He's probably not going to get a job this offseason, but look out for him next year. He's the next Saleh, in my opinion. He is the defensive coordinator of the Rams, who are next level defensively, and he's got some of those same qualities and tendencies as a young guy who's on the come. But when you're a defensive-minded head coach, it's really hard to keep a good offensive coordinator because those guys get head coaching jobs.
That's right.
Look at Mike Zimmer in Minnesota. He's going to be going through his sixth OC this offseason, it looks like.
Is that right? Six?
He's been there for 7 years, 8 years, something like that. Kirk Cousins is going into his fourth season in Minnesota. He'll be playing with his fourth offensive coordinator. And that's a defensive-minded coach. Now, that's not just because those guys are getting head coaching jobs. In the case of Kevin Stefanski, that is the case. When you've got a really good one and you're a defensive coordinator, you lose that person. See Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel's a great example. He is Saleh, right? He is Staley, the guys I was just talking about. However, while he's had a lot of success and the Titans have made the playoffs and they've gotten to an AFC championship game, you're constantly resetting on offense. Matt LaFleur was there for 1 year, becomes a head coach. Arthur Smith was there for 2 years. He took over. People last year started to talk about him. Hey, he should get interviews. It was way too early, so last year he couldn't get hired. But now, second season, offense is good. Tannehill keeps playing well, and he's a head coach somewhere. So that's the issue with going with defense. Saleh is going to hire, supposedly, Mike LaFleur as his offensive coordinator. Should sound familiar. That's Matt LaFleur's little brother. Well, he is coming from the Kyle Shanahan tree in San Francisco. He's one of the lead assistants in their offensive room that's learning under Kyle Shanahan. It's this incestuous weird thing. All these guys that were with Washington and family members, and they're all in each other's weddings and stuff. Saleh is in that group, albeit not ever in this building in Ashburn. But I say that to tell you that Mike LaFleur is a hot commodity now. Like, people are already saying this is a guy who could be a head coach in a couple years. So Saleh loses him in 2 years, and you're just constantly trying to replace that. And in winning organizations, you're able to. You can. You figure that out. I just think it's a lot harder as a defensive head coach to keep your staff together. Whereas offensive guys can keep the defensive person around. Like, Saleh was there a year longer than everyone anticipated in San Francisco. Brandon Staley is an example. If that guy was an OC and was beloved like he is, there's no chance he wouldn't be getting interviews in every market this offseason. So, I don't know. That's a little bit of a prejudice, I guess, I would have against defensive
coaches.
No, but
it's practical. Because it's not prejudicial. It's practical. In other words, you're going, you can hire this defensive guy, but are you willing to have a different offensive system on average once every 18 months?
Yeah.
That's a pretty big deal, right, at least in theory. Or you could be like Pete Carroll, the ultimate defensive coach who's coached defense his whole life and have a bad offensive coordinator for years. Then nobody wants him. How smart is that?
Daryl Bevel's not getting a head coaching job,
right? That's right. Brian Schottenheimer is not in demand.
Blow him out. I guess my favorite hiring so far, with that having been said, is Arthur Smith if he goes to the Falcons. But the guy, again, to me, that I think whoever gets him is the big winner. Now, I have no idea if he can run a program. It's a huge risk because he's basically 14 years old, is Joe Brady. But I just, to me, that's what matters the most. Like, figure the rest out. Hire a couple of assistants around you that are 64 and have been in the league for 25 years and that can call you on when you're screwing things up and help you structure a practice. But I just want dudes that can get receivers open, basically, calling my plays.
Yeah.
And you wear a hat and give a quick speech before practices occasionally and get the team together after the game. The rest of it is for movies. Like, I don't know how much more there is to it than that for me. Like, you set the culture, you set the program, but you've seen it with McVay. You've seen it with some guys. If you're young, there's a relatability there. Meyer is a fine hire. It doesn't excite me. I just think it's because he's so known. He's been around for so long.
Yeah, I'm not as into that. Even my initial reaction was, wow, that's pretty amazing. They did it. They got their celebrity, et cetera. But again, there's a distinction that I draw between guys with pro experience that also coached in college and then went to the pros. and I know this is maybe just making the definition sort of go all over the place just so it can fit mine, but there's been one guy basically without any pro experience, the guy that never played in the pros or coached in the pros, that went to the pros and kicked ass, and that was Jimmy Johnson. I think the game is different now, but Jimmy Johnson was awesome at Miami. Jimmy Johnson was awesome at Dallas.
But isn't the game more collegey than it used to be? That's not really a word, but
no. But
theoretically, the transition should be easier. It's never looked more the same when you watch a game on Saturday and on Sunday.
Yes, in terms of offensive and maybe even defensive designs, but not in terms of personnel, in terms of free agency, in terms of how level the playing field is in that way, right? There's no Joe Gibbs methodology of just stashing 25, 30 guys that could play for almost anybody else so we could have full contact practices in December, right? It's different now with modern free agency. The only guy that sort of breaks the rule, though, is Jimmy Johnson. Everybody else that was a college coach, hot name, had no pro experience of any kind, jumped up there. It's been a pretty big set of failures for the most part. Again, Jimmy Johnson's kind of the exception to the rule. I'm even a little bit lower on this Urban Meyer thing than I was yesterday.
All right, one other thing we need to hit on today, and then we can leave the coaching carousel in the rearview mirror and actually start talking about next weekend, is Eric Bieniemy, who for pretty much three straight years all season we've been told teams can't wait to get their hands on him. He's going to get hired. And then seven openings come open every year, and he never gets any of them, which just seems peculiar. So we will get into that at some point. Next, though, let's get into what Jason Wright told us about the name change. A couple of things they have already decided that they are going to prioritize that are important to them, and we'll get our listeners' reactions to that on the phones. Ryan Kerrigan today at 425, Joe Theismann at 525. We are Greg and Dave.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.